Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, in the desert, they came to a place named Marah. And although they had water there, it was bitter, so that they could not drink it. The Lord spoke to Moses and showed him a tree. Not any tree. Moses didn't pick the tree. But the Lord picked a tree and showed Moses the particular tree he had chosen. And Moses cut it down, and when he put it into the water became sweet. That is, it didn't turn into lemonade, but it was no longer bitter, is the point. And they could drink it. Likewise, today, God shows us a tree. A tree he has chosen, and a tree through which he makes the bitterness of our lives sweet. In Psalm 22, if you study the whole psalm, we won't study the whole psalm today, but you could study the whole psalm, and you'll see that throughout the psalm, David goes back and forth. He has a couple verses where he talks about I. He talks about that bitterness of this life that we were just talking about. He talks about his suffering and his feelings. He does that for a couple verses, and then he follows it up with a couple verses of you, not you, but you speaking to God. And so, just as we were talking about, David does the same thing in Psalm 22. He takes that bitterness of this life, and he learns how to find comfort. He learns how the cross of Christ and the grace of God and the promises of God remove the bitterness of this life. We're going to start then with verses 1 through 5. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. In the first two verses there, you see that deep suffering, that deep bitterness that David is experiencing. The bitterness of someone who is suffering in life, or perhaps in a particular situation, deeply, deeply suffering. So great is his agony that he even accuses God of forsaking him. I've cried to you. I've not stopped crying to you. I've filled my day with prayers to God, but he has not answered. In a sense, this only adds to David's suffering and discomfort. What would we say to somebody who is suffering like this? What would we say to ourselves when we are suffering like this? Well, David turns to that cross of Christ in the next verses. You are holy, he says to God. The holiness that David talks about there is not the righteousness of God where of the law. It's not the righteousness where God always does the just thing and the right thing. That holiness wouldn't really give us any comfort in our suffering. In fact, you may remember that Job's friends tried to comfort him with just such a thought. They came and said, well, if you're suffering, then obviously you did something wrong because God is punishing you and God doesn't do anything wrong. That kind of thought didn't really comfort Job, and it really wouldn't comfort us. But that's not what David is talking about here. That's not the holiness he's talking about here. We see that from the context. But rather, David is talking about the holiness, the righteousness of God that comes to us through the cross and through Jesus Christ. He's talking about the righteousness, the faithfulness of God, the holiness by which God will not forsake his promises. And he bears that out in the next verses. Our fathers trusted in you and you delivered them. He finds comfort by going back, looking back at the Israelites of old, looking back at the stories he learned as a little kid in Sunday school, or Sabbath school, they probably called it. Looking back at the accounts of God's righteous acts in the lives of his people. He goes back to Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He goes back to the Israelites in the wilderness. He doesn't look back on them as an example. I want to be like Abraham. If I'm just faithful like Abraham, everything will be okay. He looks back on them to see God acting in their life. They trusted in you and they were delivered, though they suffered for a little while, yet you are holy and have not forsaken your promises. The faithfulness of God, the same faithfulness of God that we see most clearly in the cross, where God fulfills his promise to send his Messiah to redeem us. Ultimately, as we know, these words that David speaks here, my God, why have you forsaken me, are not about us, but about Christ. We often feel like David, we often feel like this is true of us, that God has forgotten about us, that God has forsaken us, that God is not hearing our prayers. But in the Gospels, we find that it is only true of Jesus. He is the one who is forsaken by God, and because he was forsaken, we never are. No matter how much it may feel like it. He suffered the bitterness in our place. We heard about that in our Old Testament reading as well. And we see it there on the cross, that God forsook him. And therefore, through this tree, this cross, Christ removes the bitterness of our life that God ought to forsake us and abandon us, because he forsook Christ instead. And we receive that sweet living water to drink, the water that reminds us that he is faithful to his promises to us. We continue with verses 6 through 10. Sorry, 6 through 11. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. In these verses, David expresses that feeling of worthlessness. His life is worthless. All that he has done feels empty and useless. I have no friends. I have no meaning. I am the laughingstock of everyone who sees me. Such feelings of self-worthlessness are often more difficult even than physical pain and suffering, because we know that physical pain will go away. We just need to get through it. But feelings of depression and worthlessness feel as though they will never go away, as though there is nothing that we can do. But once again, David turns to the cross. In opposition to his own feelings of worthlessness, he looks to God. You are he who took me from the womb. He looks to God both as his creator and as his redeemer. He confesses that faith, that God created me and God doesn't make junk. God created me and I am precious to him. So precious that God, after the flood, put the ultimate price on man's life, didn't he? He who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, because God wanted to protect life, which was precious to him, you who are precious to him. But even more than that, David continues, not only are you the God who created me, but you are the God who has redeemed me. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. Those words there, I was cast upon you from birth, are recognition that the faith that has been in his whole life is not of his doing. He doesn't say, well, I'm confident in my self-worth because I chose to trust in Jesus. It's not David's faithfulness that gives him comfort, but God's faithfulness. You made me your child when I was only an infant. You have been my God your whole life because you made me your child. The Israelites, of course, were circumcised on the eighth day, marking them as the children of God. We all, like, similarly, have been baptized, many of us, as children, marking us and reassuring us that we are God's child. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah talks about this. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God makes it clear that despite those times when we feel our sin, our guilt, when we feel our mistakes and feel like our life is empty and like we have failed, that nevertheless, despite our failings, we belong to the Lord and he values us. That's the sweetness that we find in the cross of Christ, isn't it? That even if everyone else were to treat us like trash, that's their sin and their failing. That we are precious to the Lord, who cherished us enough not only to create us, but to send his Son to die on the cross. Luther reminds us in his explanation of the second article that we were not bought with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. Once again, like the psalmist, we are often tempted to think that these words are true of us, that I am the one who is the worm and a reproach among men. And without the cross of Christ, it would be true. But with that tree that Jesus died on, these words no longer belong to us, but only to Christ. Just as before, these words are Christ in our place. He now is the worm who is despised. And we heard in Isaiah, in our reading from Isaiah, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Because Jesus was rejected, mocked, and abandoned. Therefore, we are not. And we heard that in the gospel reading too. We heard how even when Jesus was on the cross there, rejected by men and abandoned by God, he did not reject or abandon his mother, but looked after her and provided a son to take care of her, the disciple whom he loved. In the same way, through his suffering and death, he has not rejected or abandoned us, but has provided for us that tree that makes bitterness sweet. That tree, that cross of Christ, even removes the bitterness of death from our life, doesn't it? Psalm 116, verse 15 reminds us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We heard in our gospel reading how Jesus cried out at the end, it is finished. The payment for our sin is done. The fear of death is the punishment of our sins. The fear of death is the guilt of our sins, but that is now gone through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Perhaps you remember a time as a kid where you did something wrong and were afraid of the punishment you would receive when your parents found out. My mother used to tell me the story of how whenever they did something wrong, their mother sent them to their rooms, and they had to wait there for their father to come home, and he would decide what their punishment was. And so they had to sit in their room, afraid, worried about that punishment that was to come. But once the punishment has been completed, there's nothing to fear anymore. Jesus says, it is finished. We're not sitting around waiting for the punishment. We're not sitting around waiting for our Father in heaven to come down and tell us what our punishment is, because it is complete in Christ. The punishment is fully paid, and there is nothing more to fear. This is the tree which God has provided, which removes the bitterness of this life and gives us in its place that sweet water of life that we may drink and rejoice in our Savior. And so the Lord invites us, not just today, but every day of our life, to come to the cross, to come to the tree of our salvation, where that bitter water may be made sweet and we may drink fully of His forgiveness and His grace. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.